God, you are so good to us. God, you love us so much. God, we are so thankful for you. Father, even when we don't understand your ways, God, they're good. And God, we trust you. Father, I thank you for who you are. God, for your very nature of loving us and having a good plan. God, we thank you. God, we honor you. God, we praise your name. Father, be with us the rest of the service this morning. God, open our ears, open our hearts for what you have for us, Father. Prepare us, Father. Prepare our minds, Father, to hear your words. And God, right now we pray for Vivian as she goes to lead these kids in Sunday school. God, we pray that you'll just give her patience and wisdom, Father, to minister to them the way that they need. God, for these kids, God, we pray that you would bless them. Father, still their bodies. Father, open their hearts. And God, allow them to hear your impactful words. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. The kids can head off to Sunday school with Vivian. Some kids are out farming. So, those cabbage rolls smell really good, I'm just saying. They're making me hungry. Oh boy, I shouldn't have moved that paper there. Well, it's funny, Stacey was telling me a story about Cohen the other day. Oh, she's stopping because I'm going to tell the story about the business cards. And every week, I guess he takes a big stack of my business cards and he hands them out at school and invites his friends to all our events that we're doing. So why don't you take a stack of business cards with you this week? I've got a bunch in my desk, and invite people to church or invite people to the movie night or invite people to the light the night and just say, here's a card. And it has nothing but our church website, but they can, and my phone number, I guess, whatever. But give them out. Let people know we're here. I thought that was pretty neat because Cohen means priest. And he's telling all his friends about Jesus, telling all his friends about church and how they need to come to church. So it was pretty neat when we named him that without even, we didn't have that full plan, but God obviously has a full plan. And he's always inviting friends out to church stuff. And when we had the last movie night, he had a whole bunch of friends that came, actually. I think he had four friends that came with their families. And he thought they were just going to play in the back and eat chocolate, but we made them sit up here. And we had a lot of popcorn up here, didn't we, Lucas, to vacuum? Lots of it. But they had a good time. So I want to start with a question this week for you. What if you knew then what you know now? So, an example. In 1980, Apple IPO investment was $5,000. Today, over $2 million. Maybe you would choose to eat a little differently when your metabolism was faster or you were working out, doing things. Maybe that Big Mac or that KFC wasn't such a good idea back then. Maybe you'd undo a hairstyle. Lyle, would you undo that mullet? But some of those hairstyles or some of those shirts, I remember my uncle, and some of you guys might have these shirts, so no offense, but he always had these shirts with roses all over them. And they were always flowery shirts. And I remember these very distinctly in all these family pictures. Do you know what I'm talking about? You have those still, don't you? Rick, come on. But my Uncle Blair had these shirts, and they always had flowers on them. And they were quite nice, but would you undo those shirts or the pink shirts? The Miami Vice shoes and no socks? Like, imagine how bad your feet smelled. Trust me, I know. But they say hindsight is 20/20. And I'm here to tell you that that's true with God's word as well. The future is just as clear as the past. I'm here to tell you that with God's word, the future is just as clear as the past. Exponential, exceedingly abundantly, Jesus came to bring life, didn't he? He came to give us life, and a life that is more abundant. Not just guess we got to go to church, but a life that is exciting, abundant, worth living. Because sometimes you see people and they're pretty down. And it's like, well, you know, it's just, I don't know where to go from here. But it's a life worth living when you live with Jesus. Last week we talked a bit about exponential faith. And we talked about how oftentimes people, we like to think addition, but God is thinking multiplication, always. Because we talked about last week that scripture, be fruitful and multiply. That's one of the reasons that we don't really experience an exponential life, I think, is because we think small. And God is thinking big. So I want to add some thoughts to this. Why we miss living an exponential life. And I think one of the big reasons, even though we're... The oven just changed. Even though we're thinking small sometimes, and God is thinking big, we're also often consumed with the here and now. What's happening today? What's happening tomorrow? But what is God focused on? God's focused on eternity, isn't he? Is God focused on, well, you know, at 2:30, you're going to watch some NFL, so let's really focus on that. But God is thinking about the forever. And we're often thinking about the right now. And we're missing the big picture that God has for us. So Colossians 3:1-2 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. See, I think Jesus knew this would be an issue for many of us now. We're thinking on the here and now. And we need to be start thinking about the eternity, things above us, things that we might not think they matter right now, but it's in the big picture, they matter. We talked last week a little bit about the Gideon Bibles. And, you know, if some of us were handing out Gideon Bibles, maybe we might not be thinking the big picture. But like Lyle shared last week about Gideon Bibles, you're praying that some of these Gideon Bibles take root and that they're going to bring back a hundredfold return. You're praying for that return. That's us not thinking small and thinking the big return, the big picture. And Jesus taught on a parable to help us understand why eternal investment and focus was so critical for us. So I'm going to ask you two major questions today that I pray could help redirect the course for your life. Instead of living in a world of addition, we can start living in a kingdom of multiplication. Who wants to live in a kingdom of multiplication? I pray we all do. We want to live in the kingdom where Jesus is multiplying everything that he is at and that we are at work with him. So I got a precursor to this message. Is yes, we talk about tithing, but it's not just about the tithe. See, it's easy. I'm gonna try to word this appropriately, and Mel and Lyle can throw something at me if I'm wrong when I say this. But we have a very generous church. I would say that's a fair statement. And God is, it's easy to talk about tithing when the church is being generous and things are going well financially within the church. When the worst time to talk about tithing, in my opinion, is when, oh, you know what, we're not making our budget for these last 2 months. We should talk about tithing now, right? Things are going well, so it's a good time to talk about it. But it's not just about the money is what we're going to talk about, is what I'm saying. So we got a scripture, and it's in Matthew. just got to find it here. Matthew 25, 14 to 29. And it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, and to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them. And he made the 5 talents more. So also the one who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug it into a ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over the little. I will set you over much more. Enter the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But the master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap what I have where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has been given more, and he will give with an abundance. But from the one who has not even what he has taken away. This was an aha moment. Because when I started that first verse, I could have started with, then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. Because when we get to heaven, that's how the account is going to be. So I want to give you some thoughts on this scripture. And the first thought is this. It's about our tithe. And it says, the tithe is a declaration of God's ownership. When we tithe, it is a declaration of God's ownership over everything that we have. This mindset is far more important than most of us realize. And I think God is passionate that we get this. See, God created us to be generous. He created us to be givers. Why? Because we were created in His image. We were created in God's image, were we not? How generous is our God? Very generous. I'll even step back from talking about this. How loving is our God? Very. So we should be givers, we should be lovers, because our God is a lover and a giver. Right? He is generous. See, but the problem we have, I think, is that when you believe that everything that you have is yours, it's hard to let it go. Isn't it? When you think of it, it's mine. It's my money. It's my earnings. I worked hard for this. It's hard to let it go. It's hard to give it up. But it's easier to give when it never belonged to you in the first place, isn't it? And I believe that is the primary reason God has called us to honor Him with the first tenth, with the tithe. I'm going to give you an example of how I think it's easier to give. So I go on lots of company business trips with Husky, and I'm a little cheap at times. I'm a little Ukrainian. Can I say that? I'm a little Ukrainian. And when the time comes to pay the check, it's always one of the hardest parts. So I'm like, how do we spend this much money? And then do I have to really give a tithe? Because this bill is pretty high. Or tithe. What do you call the tip? Do I really have to give a tip? Because the bill's high. And I would always justify, I'll give 5%. I'll give a 5% tip. You know, it's my money. I don't want to give it up. But when I go out on company business trips and I go out for a meal, it's like, well, that was pretty decent service. It was okay. She deserves 20%. It's way easier to give away a tip when it's somebody else's money, isn't it? And the same is true with a tithe, I think. My opinion. It's much easier to say, well, it's not my money, so it's God's money, so I'm just going to give it away. Give it to Him. But when we start thinking closed-minded, closed-fisted, that this is mine, I earned it. I deserve it. Right? The tithe is the declaration of God's ownership over everything that we have. Leviticus 27:30 says, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to Him as holy. Well, that's Old Testament though, right? But that doesn't apply to us today. Know what Scripture says. When people say it's the new covenant, what it is it's the new blood covenant. Has nothing to do with the tithes. Has nothing to do with giving back to God what is God's. Jesus said that already. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to God what is God's. Does He not? So if He doesn't mean that, if we were still living under the old covenant, then that shouldn't have been into effect, right? But God wants us to be generous with His money. Every time we get paid, we have the opportunity to remind ourselves who the owner and provider in our family really is. Every time we get a paycheck, we have an opportunity to say, thank you, God, for trusting me with your money. Here's some of your money back. Thank you, God, for your money. It's an opportunity to thank Him who really provides for us. Some of us need to be set free from this burdensome, is the word I'm trying to say, idea of who the provider and the money bringer in, really is in our household. And this idea brings a lot of thought to the weight and bondage that some of us live in. And you know what? I'll go as far to say as the tithe is the bridge to freedom in life. It's the bridge to trusting God in all things. Because when we're starting to live like this closed-in life, how do you give anything away? You can't. You want to hold on to it all, don't you? But when you live open-handed, God, it's yours, it's a much more freeing life. The more we can release, the bigger impact we can have. It's easy to give what isn't yours. So the first question I have, actually it's not the first question, it's a question. How would your life change knowing that everything belonged to God? If you started living with the mindset that everything you have belongs to God, how would that change your life? See, in this story, Jesus is describing the kingdom of heaven and is teaching us that God owns everything. And the other thing that He is telling us there is that we're going to give an account for that. Aren't we? We're going to give an account for what we did with what God gave us. Matthew 25:19, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts. We're giving an account. Now, some of us, alarm bells start going off when I say that we're going to be giving an account. The idea that my life will be judged feels contradictory to maybe what I believe. Doesn't the Bible say that we're saved by grace through faith, not works? Yes, it does. Don't we believe that Jesus endured judgment, I just spit, and wrath on the behalf of us? Yes, we do. Doesn't the Bible say there's no condemnation for those that love Him? Yes, it does. Yet. Romans 14:10-12 tells us, remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scripture says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So who is Paul writing to? The Christians in Rome, right? So what do we know about judgment in this term? This comes from the Greek word, now I got to say this right. I'm going to say it wrong anyways. Bema seat, from the Bema seat or judgment seat of Christ. So when we see or hear the word judgment seat of Christ, what do we picture? We picture Christ sitting in the judge's chair with a table maybe in front of us with a gavel hammer thing, right? Beating the hammer down. Good thing that was well built. And judging us according to what we did wrong. Right? That's what a lot of us picture. God is a judge who's judging me, who wants to judge me and condemn me. But this isn't an accurate picture of what Bema Seat of Christ is. So I want to give you a different picture of what the Bema Seat is. This was to the Romans, right? Or the Christians living in Rome. So what do we know about the people of Rome back then? They liked sports. They had Olympics. They had sporting events. So, think of a judge on their behalf would be somebody sitting there watching sports. I'm thinking of a sport that has judges, other than figure skating, gymnastics, whatever. But you got this judge sitting there scoring the presentation, scoring what's happening out on the ice. We'll use gymnastics. Stacy likes those two people that are dating, not dating. I don't know what they are. What's their names? The Canadian figure skater dancers. Now you're, what? Tessa Virtue, Scott Moyer, them. So they're out there dancing. And the Bema seat is the judge that's watching this presentation, watching what's happening on the ice, watching how nice it looks, watching what's happening, and then presenting a score. Not a you failed, but a score of, 1 to 10 on how each piece looked. That's the Bema seat. It's not the judge ruling over you this way, you that way. It's scoring the life. And God, like the judge, is cheering on the athlete a little bit in that way. But God is cheering us on fully. He's sitting at the edge of his throne, planning and preparing for how to bless you next for your faithfulness on how you live. That's what God's doing. He's not sitting there judging you and say, Dave, you idiot. What were you thinking? I gave you that money to bless somebody. Or I gave you this to bless somebody, to pour into somebody's life. That's not how God is. God's sitting there. Come on, Dave. Come on, just do it. Do it. Go. Like watching a football game, cheering you on, encouraging you, praying for you, spurring you to something greater than yourself. Do you know what I'm saying here? God wants us to be doing something more than just for us. Revelations 22:12 says, look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give each person according to what they have, what they have done. He isn't to punish, but he wants to reward us. The race we run will determine our reward, our prize. I want to say this again. He is not a punishing, judgmental God in that form. He is cheering us on to greatness for him. So how would you live your life? How would you change your life knowing you will give an account to God for what you do? When I realize that everything I have belongs to God, and then I will give an account for what I have done and what I've been given, it becomes extremely obvious that God is passionate that we are faithful stewards of what he entrusted us with. Don't you think? I think it does. Oh, she is way ahead of me today. I was looking up and I was like, I'm lost. But I'm not. I am, but just bear with me. So to become a faithful steward, we need to see ourselves as kingdom investors rather than earthly spenders. Okay, I'm going to repeat that again. We need to see ourselves as kingdom investors rather than earthly spenders. Can you say this with me? I am a kingdom investor. I am a kingdom investor. One more time. I am a kingdom investor. Everything we do is to invest in the kingdom. Everything we do is for the kingdom. Everything we do for the kingdom. So the definition of spend is to use or to pay out. Trading, bartering. But the definition of invest is to devote, expecting a return. So you're not trading like for like. I'm not trading this $100 for a $100 gift card. But I'm trading my $100 for a $500 gift card. I'm expecting a greater return. I'm expecting an exponential return. We need to invest in the kingdom of God. We need to get serious about kingdom business and not just about the here and now. Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart." Every second of every day, we have a choice. Don't we? We have a choice to spend what we have, or we have a choice to invest what has been given to us, what God has entrusted us with. What do you choose to do? Do you choose to invest or do you choose to spend? And when we become spiritual investors, it changes us. And it exponentially grows heaven. So what do we do now? Well, we know that God's exponential reward lasts for a short time or lasts forever. God's rewards last forever, right? It's eternal. Because like I said earlier, we think small when God is thinking big. He's thinking for eternity. We're thinking 1 week, 2 weeks. Let's go as far as we're thinking 5 years down the road. But God's thinking eternity in mind, everything he does. But what do we do with what we know? What we talked about today. So remember my opening questions. If you knew then what you know now, how would you live a different life? If you knew before you went out and just blew that money on a shopping spree, maybe you could invest some of that money into God's kingdom, into building his kingdom. What would you do different? See, we need to change our process of thinking. And I'm encouraging you guys to do that. Not just about your funds. Remember what I said at the start? This is not just about your tithes and offerings. This is about your life. This is about your time. This is about talking to people. It's an opportunity to invest eternally. We all have opportunities to invest eternally. I would like to ask a question. How many of you talk to only church people every day of the week? So most of us, we all talk to non-church people, don't we? We run into people at the post office. You buy groceries. and you have an opportunity to invest in somebody's life. Make an eternal investment. Don't make an internal investment. You might be talking to the police about that. But make an eternal investment. It's important. Because when we invest exponentially, it impacts eternally. What happens? God's exponential reward, the one that lasts forever, comes onto us. Are you willing to live in a way where we hold nothing back? Or do you want to hold on to everything you have because you worked for it? You earned it. I think we all want to live in a way where we trust God and give it to Him because it's His money, right? It all belongs to Jesus. And in the end, we all want to hear those words we read in Matthew. Matthew 25:21, where His master said to Him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Who doesn't want to hear those words? Or who wants to hear those words? I asked that the right way. Who wants to hear those words from Jesus? Who wants God to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? See, this isn't just a message about tithes. It's about life. It's about investing in people. It's about investing in your neighbors. Time, effort, talking to them, encouragement. So yes, it's a message about tithes and money, but it's a message about life. And here's the thing. And if I thought I said it last week, but maybe I didn't. Our life is not just our own. Just like our money is not our own. Do you get that? It all belongs to God. And it's easier to give your time and effort when it's not yours, when it's His, isn't it? So as we go this week, think about how you can be a kingdom investor. I want you all to be kingdom investors and not earthly spenders. So before we wrap up and close, Mary and the team, if you guys want to come pick a song, any song. We're going to have an opportunity. We're just going to pray. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk to God while we're praying. We're just going to have the music playing, any song. But we're just going to spend a moment just asking God maybe where we're being earthly spenders and where He can allow us or help us loosen the grip on our earthly spending and become heavenly investors. So would you pray with me? God, we thank You. Father God, right now, sometimes some of us are thinking small picture. We're thinking the here and now or the tomorrow or the next week, God. But You're thinking of all eternity. Father, just like last week when we were talking about Abraham, and he was thinking about a son, and God, You were thinking about us. Father, we pray that we start living with eternity in mind. And God, right now, we're just going to take a moment and just think on maybe where we're thinking small-minded, where we're thinking about our lives and how we control it. And Father, I pray that You would reveal areas in our lives that we need to give up and give to You, to give You control, to give You ownership that You deserve of those areas. So God, we're going to take a moment and we're just going to think on that, Father. I pray You would reveal those areas to us. Thank You, God. Father. God, we thank You. reveal things to us that we might need to shed. And God, I pray that as we leave church today, Father, that you would continue to speak to us, continue to reveal the areas in our life that we need to shed us and take and give it to you. God, I pray that you would just open up our hearts to your goodness and change our life, change our focus to eternity. Change our focus to how everything we have, everything we do belongs to you. Change our entire purpose to living for me, living for now, to living for you, because it's all for you. Thank you, Father. God, thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for the focus. And God, I pray that as you lead us and guide us, that we would have opportunities to invest in the kingdom. And God, thank you for letting us realize that it's not just about the money, but it's about us and our time. And it's about everything that we do and have. Father, I pray protection over each and every one of us. I pray your will would be done. God, I pray that you would just allow us to stay focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, if you can stand, we're going to